Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of souls, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky. Below and
hi, welcome to the Outlander Gab on the Air. We are here for our final episode of the season, and we'll try to figure out some sort of schedule to come back on a semi-regular basis. I don't know exactly what we'll do. A lot of it depends on how much there is to talk about, but I'm Erin. I'm the senior editor with 3fbyspace.net, the wonderful website that brings you the show. We're a sci-fi TV review site, and you should all check us out. My new show this week, I'll tell you about it in a little bit. And we have, as always with us today, is Allison. Say hi, Allison.
Hello, hello.
And Samantha. Say hi, Sam.
Hello, everybody.
We've had a busy day with a lot of stuff going back and forth because, you know, you'd think with the episodes done for the season that we would have nothing to say, but you'd be wrong. we have all kinds of stuff to tell you about.
We always have something to say.
Yeah, you can't shut us up if you try. So, just to let you know, we will be getting to callers somewhere between 8:20 and 8:30 tonight. We already have a friend of ours on the line. I think she's calling just to listen for a little bit, and we'll know in a minute. Our caller number is 929-477-3898. 929-477-3898, and it is on the page that you are looking at right now. The slideshow is just a couple of images from each of the 12 episodes this season, and that's all that's on there. It's just to keep you amused. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about some things we've been doing. We're going to talk about a little bit of news and go through the survey that we asked everybody to take last week. And then we'll start opening it up for calls to talk about your favorite moments, your favorite episodes. We'll tell you what our favorite episodes were and our least favorite episodes. And I think we all have some of those. This was a generally excellent season, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I think this was, you know,
right
in some
there.
Ways I liked it better than season one, but in, you know, season one can never be beat because it was the first one,
the,
you know, where we're getting
first
introduced
one.
To the, yeah.
Right.
But, so just a little bit of news, we have just a little bit of information about events that are still happening this year. Do you want to give us some of that info?
Sure. Most of the live events, as we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, have been either postponed or canceled. Sean Harry will have another Facebook Live meeting on Friday to talk about. He does an Outlander Highlanders event for the past couple of years, but he also does a whole bunch of other ones. So he'll be doing another update on Friday to give people some idea of which ones will be moving and to when. We also have a couple of live events in July. There's the Novel Adventures Fraser's Ridge event, which has been sold out for the past several years. A couple of people are unable to travel, so there are a couple of spots open. So if you're interested, I've been several times. If you're interested, go out to Novel Adventures. You can find them on Facebook or on the internet and check that out. And then there were a couple of private events, but unfortunately, one of the cast members got a little bit happy about them. And so Outlandish Vancouver has been doing these virtual events for their members, like a we would do a party in the suite. Literally on the Saturday night of the Outlandish Vancouver event, people would come into the hotel suite and, you know, 12 people hanging out with the cast for, you know, 90 minutes. It was, you know, a lot of fun. So we thought, that's a great thing. You can do that virtually. So they actually started doing them virtually. This past weekend was César Dambois, and I'm sure we'll have some people later on that I think wanted to call in and talk about that. But the next one coming up is June 6th, which is the first weekend after World Outlander Day. And Stephen Cree is extremely excited about being the cast member for that one. He was our César was with us a couple of years ago. Stephen Cree was as well. So he's done, both of them have done the live suite parties. And so Stephen tweeted it and it is promoting it himself. So there's been a rush of people joining the Outlandish Vancouver Facebook page to get into it. So he's also agreed that if we sell out our original block, that if there are people that wanted to join and join him and, you know, be part of those events.
I've got my ticket already.
Did so, you? Very good.
Yeah,
and, you know, just, and I'm sure we can, I think Coco's been on before, you know, they're a nonprofit, so they're not making an awful lot, you know, first of all, Outlandish Vancouver doesn't make any money off of it. They just cover the, you can't do this off of a free Zoom. You have to pay for that license. But, you know, there's Zoom licenses and there's bank fees and whatnot. But all of the proceeds, really, they have to go to these actors. These actors are not working right now. And it's wonderful for them to get in front of their fans and do Facebook Lives and do Instagram story, you know, lives and stuff and Twitter questions and answers. But that doesn't pay the bill. These people have bills. So, you know, this is just a little bit of something. And the ones last weekend, if, you know, we'll talk about it later, but the ones last weekend, it was all these old friends that have met at this other event before. And it was a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun. So anyway,
that's cool. Well, I will sit here and have all my FOMO because I can't do it. That's what it is. It's life. That's okay.
But yeah, that's about all I know for events. So there's two that are going on, you know, for sure. And then we'll see what happens and if other ones get postponed. But keep our fingers crossed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Fun.
And the Outlandish or the Novel Adventures, I'm getting started to work on that. Kim has me doing a little gift thing for the high tea. So for all of the attendees.
You know what?
So,
I have to say, Kim always has the most phenomenal little gifts and trinkets and special. It really is what makes it special. We've had bottles of wine with, you know, Novel Adventures and people on there. We've had it's just been, it's really special, and that's what makes it. And I've been telling people for what years. It's all the people. It's all the people that you meet at these
right.
events because mm-hmm. we all love Outlander. We all love each other. That's how we met each other, the three of us. So,
right.
you know, you get to share that with other people and meet other people. And now you have friends all over the world.
Yeah. And that's my favorite thing about this whole Outlander phenomenon. You know,
it's pretty amazing to meet the cast, but the friends I've made are way beyond that. Like you two.
Aww. And, so I've got to work on that. It's a little item that everybody will get at the tea. The pictures of the table for the tea always look spectacular.
Thank you. I took that picture. Hello. Thank you.
Oh, good. Why am I not surprised?
Gorgeous.
Speaking of people we meet, Sherry Wren, who is somebody we met at the last Outlandish Vancouver, runs a Bootlanders up in Canada, the Bootlanders website. And apparently a couple of years ago, she interviewed some cast and some bloggers and some people who run websites in the Outlander fandom. And she started that up again, and this week was Vita from Blacklanders. And so it was a fascinating read. It was really an interesting read. And I have not met Vita, but she sure sounds like somebody I'd like to meet. And
yes, I agree.
Yeah. And the next one that Sherry's doing is me. So, but I'll tell you what, I do not want to follow Vita. that will be interesting, you know, going from the sublime to the ridiculous. So that'll be fun. But I'm looking forward to that. So what else? Our other event that we know of, we don't know anymore yet. Through the Stones, you know, they can't make any decisions yet. That one's in December. So as soon as we know anything, as soon as Debbie can give us information about Through the Stones, we will know.
Mm-hmm. And so far they're not off schedule because they weren't even planning on selling until June usually. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. That's one of our favorites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really is.
So beyond that, other things are happening in the larger Outlander world. The official Outlander store is having a big sale, a Droughtlander sale, and they're touting 60% off. But the only thing I saw that was 60% off was snow globes. So if you have a hankering for a snow globe, it's really cheap right now.
good to know.
And you know what? I don't know if anybody else has looked at the official Outlander store. They've got some items on there that are $1,000.
Seriously?
Wow.
$1,300. It was a necklace, and you had your choice of metals, and it was no stones, just you know, a metal pendant. And if you chose it in white gold, it was $1,300.
Wow.
And I have no idea how they could do that. They had several pieces of jewelry from the same line, and I'm not going to say a whole lot because I don't want to burn any bridges, but.
You know, maybe they should send you a sample. You can, you know, make sure that it's the quality, and then maybe.
Well, you know, wow. Rock Love did that when they had their beautiful amethyst and silver thistle pieces.
Right.
And,
those actually were very, very pretty.
Yeah. And I gave away one of those rings, and that was absolutely gorgeous. Anyway, speaking of other things you can purchase. As many of you know, I, with 3F by Space, we're an official Outlander trading card dealer, and Robert and I, the owner of the site, Robert and I sell the cards, and they're in the, toward the end of preparing the season 4 trading cards. As season 5 has just finished, obviously they're not doing season 5 cards yet. You know, they have to wait till the season is over to get stills and pieces of the costumes and things like that. So we had Dustin on as one of our guests several weeks ago, and he's always a sweetie. And so I emailed him this morning asking him if there was any news he wanted to tell us for our final show of the season. And he says, you know me, I always have one piece of exclusive news for your radio show.
Aww.
So we appreciate that. So they are planning to do, if you collect the cards, some of the cards have pieces of wardrobe fabric on them, and some of them have 2 and 3, and there will even be one card with 4 pieces this year.
Wow.
And because they haven't been able to go to events and sell some of these individual cards at events, most of the cards are sold in boxes of 24 packs of cards, you know, but they've been selling, last couple of years, they've sold individual wardrobe cards as extras to add on to the set. So sometime in June, they'll have a virtual sale, an online sale, and they'll have 3 brand new convention exclusive wardrobe cards that you can purchase. And they've typically been $30 a piece, and they will come with 3 brand new promo cards. And if you've collected the promo cards, Dustin has been saying that there would be a total of 9 this year, and we're up to 6. So this 3 additional ones that will be coming in June would complete the set of 9. So that's how you would get those. And the original delivery date, we never actually had a date, but we had a range. They were always saying second quarter of this year. So that was April through June. Now, because of COVID and the difficulty of getting mail is really slow, especially from the UK. So they're having trouble getting the autograph cards back from cast members who are signing things and getting things back from printers and things like that. So now they're looking at a July to August release. So if you've got your cards on pre-order, especially with 3 if by space, we keep pushing back the date that we will charge your charge card or your credit card. We don't want to charge you more than 30 days before delivery. And so we had just recently decided to put it off till June 1st. And now we'll kind of put it back a little bit more. It might be June 15th. I don't think we've made a final decision yet. So if you're a trading card collector, that's the news.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So what have you guys been doing this week?
Working.
Oh, no.
It's okay. You know, it's I think after like, it's been over 2 months now, and so I think it's starting to get to me a little bit, but, you know, it's good. And this weekend was a lot of fun because we got to, you know, got to do what I do for my normal job, you know, and help run virtual meetings. I'm on virtual meetings 6 out of 8 hours a day. And so I got to be on some virtual meetings, but with friends and cast members, and it was a lot more fun. Talking about COVID-19 or IT, you know, issues and stuff.
So, Allison, how about you? You have a money-making endeavor and also one that's helping the world right now. What are you doing with that?
Yes, I've been making masks, and it's pretty steady, more than steady work these days. I'm sewing nonstop. Pretty incredible. So I'm glad to do it. The other thing that's interesting, I don't think I told you guys, but we now have a sign in front of our house that a healthcare hero lives at our house.
I saw
really
that the
cool.
other day when I stepped over.
Yeah. It's really cool. So it's my daughter who has been working in an incredibly stressful situation, and it's pretty neat to have that there.
And we love Emma. She is a hero.
Yes,
she is.
We do.
She's pretty awesome. Yeah.
She's gone through a rough last couple of weeks. So.
Yeah. A couple of weeks, months.
Yeah.
What is it? Weeks, months? It's more. It's forever. It's been years.
Yeah. It feels like, oh my God. I've been trying to stay busy. I've been taking a class on Facebook about Facebook, and it's I know it gets confusing, but it's a little course designed to help you make your fused glass business page work better for you. Allison and I have a little fused glass company. We call it Light the Fuse, and that's the kind of thing that I'm providing to Kim's Novel Adventures Gathering on the Ridge. It's a fused glass piece for everybody, but and so this class is taking up a lot of time, and it's great information, but you know, I have so much else to do. I have so much else to do that it's eating into my nothing time. So
it's eating into your playing with glass time.
Maybe.
I have to say, making masks is definitely eating into my playing with glass time.
Yes, yes. I actually made sun catchers yesterday and pulled them out of the kiln this morning, and I was really happy with those. So.
I've got three sunflowers.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
These are big sunflowers, ladies. You can put them in your garden to dress up your garden. So you can always check out our page, Light the Fuse Glass. So that's a lot of fun. The one thing we did last week, I talked about last week that we are unsure about the future of this show, that we're concerned about what we're seeing as low listener numbers. And we just really don't know if people enjoy, I mean, we know the people who listen to the show and like the show really like the show, but that's the people that we know of is a small number. And we're having trouble reaching out to a larger audience and getting a larger audience interested in coming to join us on Tuesday nights. So we did a little survey and asked everybody to take the survey. We had about 40 people take the survey. And the kind of disheartening thing was 20 of those people don't listen to the show.
Disheartening. But the fact is they're now aware. And maybe
they're aware, you know, whether they'll listen or not. Hopefully they'll listen this week. So what we're trying to figure out is, why don't people listen? What do we need to do better? What do people like about the show? One thing we're hearing is that people don't know about it. So if you listen to the show and you enjoy it, please tell your friends. And we will be happy to let you know about it, to give you information, to try to step up our promotion. If you have suggestions for where we can promote the show, if you're in a group, you can always grab a post from my group, from Outlandishly 3FI Space, or from Outlandish Chicago, or from one of the other groups that I post in, and post it in your group and talk it up. That would always help a lot. We asked a question, kind of, you know, we're trying to figure out why people don't answer, and it kind of dawned on me right after we put the survey out that we hadn't asked the question, why don't you listen? So I had to change the survey real quick. So the answers we had on here, you know, that the multiple choice, most people said they don't know where to go to listen and they hadn't heard of the show before. So I think that's the biggest thing we're running up against is there are so many people in this fandom. And we need to find ways to connect with them. Why don't people call in? They just prefer to listen. Well, that's absolutely great. We're happy to have you listen.
And that's fine, too.
That's just great. Absolutely. People saying they don't have anything to add. A lot of people saying that calling isn't available when they listen. You know, they're listening to the replays, which we absolutely love. So listen to the replays, you know, if you can go to the exact same link and listen to all of the replays from all of our shows. The time and date seem to be convenient for the majority of people and for those who it isn't. Like I said, they can listen to the replays. The length of the program seems to be pretty good for most people. So we're happy about that. The biggest majority says that they enjoy our guests. So we appreciate that. They like Tara Bennett. We had Tara Bennett who wrote the Making of Outlander books. We've had Deb Ford who does Through the Stones. We've had Teresa Carl Sanders who does the Outlander Kitchen Cookbooks. And Dustin Porras from Cryptozoic. Last year we had Jerry McMullen who is a Scottish tour guide. And we asked, who would you like us to have? Well, I'm sorry, Sam and Kat is not going to happen. We would love
never say never, but that would be a long shot.
Never say never, but I would.
Hey, you have Sam every week. Come on.
The other
Sam. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Somebody suggested the new costume designer, Trisha Bigger, and that would be really fun.
Yeah.
Somebody would like a random fighting Highlander from the show. So
I like that.
I think you can Google that. Yeah, I think you just Google it. And, you know.
Yeah. you know, I'm not having much luck getting stars to respond to me when I send them emails asking for an interview opportunity. So I've taken to kind of hitting people up on Twitter. And Gary and Barry both follow me on Twitter, so I kind of send them notes saying, please, please. And they ignore me.
The nerve.
Like, in reality, they should. But why do people like the show? They like to interact with the fans. Let's see. I like that people can disagree without making each other feel wrong. I think that's something that's important to us, that everybody's viewpoint is valid. So that's important. People love us, Sarah and Allison and Sam, so that's great. So we appreciate you, all of you who took the survey. That was very important to us. And we will keep you apprised about what we end up deciding to do.
But you know, if you ever, if you didn't get to the survey and you ever have any feedback, you can always, you know, PM them to us. You can go to the Outlandishly 3F by Space, you know, page and send a message, something. I mean,
absolutely,
let us know, because we really want your feedback. We want to know.
Right. Right. You know, if there's something that you have an idea for, or some way that you think you can help get the word out, let us know. If there's something that you think you would wish we did differently, we'd want to hear about it. So that would all be, we would all appreciate, you know, any of that that you could do for us. So moving on. We just finished season five. Season five is over. And now we are in an indeterminate droughtlander. So let's kind of talk about season five. We were going to do the Gabby Awards, but Gabby over here didn't get a post up to ask people for their opinions.
Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll do a special one in a week or two, and we can let people vote and give us a reason to come back and talk.
There you go.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
But we all watched the shows, so we can still talk about those.
What were some of your favorite moments? Some of the best musical or costume moments. What were some of those? Or some of your favorite costumes, some of your favorite music?
You know, the costumes from the 60s, from 512, they were really fun because they told a little story about the people who were wearing them too.
Spot on. Yep.
And they were they were gorgeous. So
I have to say, all the costumes, especially the men's costumes at the wedding, Jocasta's wedding episode.
Oh yeah.
Spectacular. All that embroidery and the silk and
velvet and silk. Oh yeah.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
There's one promo photo that I think is flying by in your screenshot of the men standing there ready to dance, and it reminds me of the song in Rocky Horror Show.
The time warp. Oh, great.
Okay, so, I got to go back and look at that.
Now I'm picturing David Barry in full drag makeup. Great.
Oh,
thank you for
that. That was amazing. I don't know if anybody would do it. It would be Lauren John Gray.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun? You know, because Richard was joking about we should do like a musical parody or something like that. Do you remember how Glee did that? Glee had all of their members. Okay, and now I'm showing my age, but I thought that was a really fun show. Wouldn't that be great if they all
kind of... It wasn't that long ago.
Okay, good. But Rocky Horror, wouldn't that be great?
It would.
Oh, my God.
Okay, there's another show. We'll cast...
And now we have to
Rocky
think about who
Horror
we have
with.
To cast for what. Oh, yeah, we have to
gonna do what part? This is is way off topic.
Well, of course, Rocky has to be Sam Heughan, you know, the golden boy. But, oh, yeah, we have to think
yeah,
about this one.
He would.
Okay, my mind is.
And it would be okay. We'd suffer through watching him in that little gold.
Short
beetle.
Shorts. And I think we figured out why people don't listen.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well, we've got
Coco. We got Coco? No.
Well, Coco's was sitting there waiting for us, so we'll get to her in a minute.
Well, I was just going to say, my favorite, I mean, I know that there were a couple episodes that I didn't like as much as others, but my favorites were the beginning and the end. I thought that those were the strongest. They started off really strong. Mm. They ended up really strong. They had a good strong one in the middle. You know, so I really think that there was some nice ebb and flow, and maybe the less strong ones, you know, you have to do some transition. If you're always at 100%, maybe that would burn people out or exhaust the audience. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how emotional they are, because it's hard to watch those emotional ones over and over. Although we do it, don't we?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't get enough sleep last night. My favorite episode of this season was the snake bite episode, Monsters and Heroes. Followed by episode 12, Never My Love. I thought those were two of the best. And right up there with them was the Ballad of Roger Mack, with Murtaugh's death and Roger's hanging. Then the follow-up to that, which would have been episode 8 with the black and white flashbacks, I thought was just kind of an okay issue. Which was too bad, but that one had some great moments with Ian coming back and
but it's Outlander, so there's always going to be great moments.
Right. And my least favorite episode was the Bonnet episode.
The kidnapping one.
Yep.
Although, again, even in the not as strong episode, there was some good acting. You know, there were some highlights of it, even if the overall, right? We got to see Bonnet's butt, you know.
or Ed's butt, whatever.
I can't think of it as Ed's butt. I have to think of it as Bonnet's butt.
The problem is I don't think I could feel good about look at Bonnet's butt and think, Bonnet's butt, because Bonnet, look.
I would watch an awful lot of crap to see the excellent Mr. Spilliers in it, you know, because I know that he would elevate anything that he does. But that episode, I didn't like the way they took the story turn, you know. None of it did anything for me.
And the
Between Two Fires episode, where Claire had, you know, thousands of pieces of moldy bread sitting under expensive glass cloches.
Yeah.
That was down near the bottom for me, too. So.
And for me, unfortunately, Journey Cake is towards the bottom for me, too.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that because it's Diana, but.
Right.
It's just, there were so too many. Actually, that is the bottom for me. I've never looked at an episode and thought, oh my God, there's so much wrong. I've never felt that way.
Well, that just goes to prove that once they have those story boards all put into place, doesn't really matter who is the lead author on it. I mean, clearly she knew the characters, clearly she knew the storyline, but it's what the show storyboard has to get from place to place.
Right. And not even
there were moments again in this episode in Journey Cake that were amazing and I loved. But
right.
the episode itself was my least favorite.
For Kathy McQuistion, we'll say we love the Bree and Lizzie scene.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
But, you know, and Diana, she had to go with the story they set up. And the story they had set up was
yep.
Roger and Bree and Jemmy try to go back to their own time. And, you know, just, I don't know, just didn't like it. which is, you know, it's really too bad. But I would say overall, if we were going to rank entire seasons, I would say probably this was my second favorite season and only second favorite to season one because season one, you know? And that's where they set up the story and where we meet these characters and everything.
I agree.
I do too.
So,
see, there we go.
Yep.
It's unanimous. Okay.
Yeah. Season four, I think we all agreed, was pretty much of a disaster.
So would you agree that season one, you set up the characters, but the scenery itself, the location, the history.
Oh, yes,
that
absolutely.
That was very important. The acting was good, but the scenery and the settings were that was hugely important. The acting, I think, has gotten better. I think the acting in season five was actually better. You know, you had some better dramatic scenes than maybe one. But I mean, the scenery and the costumes, all very good still too. But I think that's maybe the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think by season five too, you have your leads are two people who haven't maybe done a huge amount. Like Katrina was a fairly new actress when she started with Outlander. And she's really found her way as the season's going along and has really honed her talent. And Sam had more experience than she did, but you know, he's older and wiser and getting a lot more to do. And I think he's just gotten better and better.
I love to see our Outlander actors. I feel very, I don't know, like they're mine. They're partly mine. getting parts that make, you know, movies and getting better known. It's really, I feel very proud of them.
Yes. Well, we've got two callers sitting on the line. Let's talk to Coco a little bit and see what she has to say. Hi there. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm good. How are you?
Glad to hear that. We're just fine.
I'm actually. I am here with Munchkin McDo.
Hello,
aww.
Munchkin.
Hi, Kitty.
Aww.
So, what's going on with you? Have you recovered from Saturday with Cesar?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was good. that was a lot of fun. But
good.
Back to your previous conversation. I mean, I did like a lot in five,
uh-huh.
and the one I liked the most was the creepy one.
The Beardsleys?
Danny Beardsley.
Ah.
Oh, that was so
good. The majority of it so followed the book, and I'm not a purist by any means, but it was just so creepy and dark and interesting and, you know, the majority of it, you know, they did what they could. And it was like, wow. So
that was a very good episode. I think there was a cluster of several episodes that were just outstanding this year.
And I was disappointed with the long goodbye. That was unnecessary.
Yeah.
In 5/11.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, you know, I think most of it, they did great. We knew Marta had to go, and that was probably the biggest tearjerker for me. So,
Marta's death?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then Jamie's reaction and after that, and I think that was...
And Claire's reaction too. I mean, we were all in tears. I mean, it's just
I was in tears.
Yeah.
So definitely. But you know, all in all, I'm generally usually happy. I'm
good.
Aside from a couple of episodes earlier in season four, I'm not a season four downer person. I really, especially the second half, I really liked season four. But but anyway, I think part of season three was like my least favorite. So
yeah, I think season four had a dip in the middle and really picked up toward the end. So
Voyager's never been a favorite of mine either. So what can I say?
I wasn't crazy about several of those episodes. So
were
there
have you given any thought what season six might be if now that they've moved some of the storylines up? You guys? I mean, Coco, you've read these books as much as we have. I mean, what do you think they're going to do? Are they going to move stuff up now?
Well, I'm really hoping for. Okay, so wait, who did they just? Okay, so the Browns are dead.
One of the Browns is dead.
Yeah, but the really bad one.
Right.
I'm a little concerned. You know, Wendigo Donner got away, and we know what he does, but that's book seven, I think. And
I don't think so. I think that's book six.
It's the end of
the
A Breath of Snow and Ashes, isn't it?
Oh, it's the end of six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I really hope that we have Melva. I really, because you have to have another bad person.
Yeah.
I think we will because Diana answered a question. We're missing Melva Christie, and she says, I can't talk about season six.
I saw that.
Well, you know, I was sort of thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, maybe is it the war that's the bad, you know, the bad situation instead of a bad person? I don't know. That was a thought I had, but I prefer to have Malva there, without a doubt.
Well,
yeah.
And if Malva's there, then there makes no sense to have Marsali continue. So that gives them a reason for Marsali and Fergus to perhaps do the whole print shop thing, you know. So because if she's the assistant, then where does that whole storyline go?
Yeah.
Right.
It is hard to be the assistant with three live children and a bun in the oven.
She has the fastest pregnancies on record.
She has had more babies.
And she's on track for 12 or 13.
But anyway, you know, I really, really hope that if we don't get season seven, although if anybody out there of power is listening to this, I'd love to see a season seven. I really want to see them go back to Scotland and have Stephen and do those scenes. And here's what I would even accept. I said I wasn't a purist. That they revert Jenny and Stephen.
And have Jenny and die instead of Ian.
And Ian come to America,
Oh, that's interesting.
That might happen.
But anyway,
I don't know.
That's my fantasy. So okay.
we'll keep that in mind.
Anybody. So anyway. But you asked about Saturday. Saturday was a lot of fun. That was Outlandish Vancouver's inaugural virtual party in the suite. And it went over pretty darn well. You know, I don't think there were any hiccups, Samantha.
No, not technically.
Nothing.
I was scared to death that, you know, Zoom would go down or, but no.
Right.
It was good.
Right. everybody was there and have lots of pictures of the screenshots and stuff.
And everybody had pants on?
We didn't check. You know, don't ask, don't tell.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
everybody had shirts on. So, you know, he really actually opened up a lot about some things about filming and his experiences and things he wants to do and walking around Paris and what he's been doing. And so that was actually pretty fun to listen to. So yeah.
That's neat.
We have right now, Samantha mentioned it earlier, Stephen Cree will be joining us for World Outlander Day. And right now we're kind of into his fourth party, and there is a cap. So if anybody is interested, then head on over to the Facebook group that Samantha mentioned, Outlandish Vancouver, and the tickets are there. There's also a contest in there for an autographed picture of Mr. Cree. And for the winner, I will send it to him to be personalized. He'll send it back, and we'll get it to the winner. So he will personalize the photo.
Nice. That sounds great.
But you got to be in the group to take advantage of your numeric chance at winning that. So yeah.
Stephen just made our group bigger because he's so excited to do this. Like, come on, join the party. Okie dokie.
And I saw you posted the date for 2021.
Oh, right. The Outlandish Vancouver 2021.
Right.
Technically, it would start on the 22nd. Thursday is the 21st of October. Be done Sunday night, the 24th, 2021.
Yeah.
So just doing the housekeeping. And since we never did announce anything for 2020, we're rolling it over to 2021. So.
And sad, I will not be there in 2021.
Oh, I know.
That's my son's wedding weekend, so.
Well, no, I think he needs to get married in Vancouver.
Right?
Yeah, free. Or at least in Washington. There's a town called Boynton right on the border.
Well,
but,
wrong son.
Yeah, wrong son. The other one has in-laws now living in Washington, but not this one.
So through our virtual parties in the suite, we are determined to make Droughtlander more bearable. Let's put it that way.
Good. Good. That helps. That's really nice.
Samantha, do you want to give away who our summer kickoff is?
Well, we can. It's your event, so... I'm just a technical help. Come on. I'm actually kind of excited because I love this girl. So Lauren Lyle will be so there's two in June. June 6th is Stephen, and Lauren Lyle will be the end of June. So I don't have the date in front of me because I wasn't prepared to say anything. Was it June 27th?
27th, yeah. Summer series kickoff.
She's just as excited. Yeah.
Very good.
Great.
She's adorable.
And then she can talk to people on Zoom before she heads on over to North Carolina. Because she'll also be the guest in North Carolina at Fraser's Ridge.
Yep.
That'll be great.
That's cool.
All right, Coco, we're going to let you go.
Have a great night.
We've got another caller.
I'll remember not to hang up so I can listen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just put you back on mute. Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Good
night.
Bye.
So that's always fun hearing from the inside about some of these events. Outlandish Vancouver last year was really a lot of fun, and I'm going to be sad to miss it, but I think Andy's wedding kind of, I have
you
to be
You may not
there.
Be
yeah.
able to, yeah, that's kind of a hard
yeah,
one to say no
it's
to.
It's going to be hard to.
My daughter's wedding was almost, because she was looking at October last year when she got married. I'm like, what date?
yeah. So these children have to understand we have lives too.
That's right. We have our priorities.
If you want to call in and talk with us tonight, this is a good time to start dialing in. Our number is 929-479-4773898. I think springtime allergies are really hitting me this week. So give us a call and you can tell us what your favorite moments have been and what your favorite episodes have been and how you think you're going to survive Droughtlander. I was going to mention, I've got a new show that I'm starting with this week that I think people might be interested in. This is called Snowpiercer. It's the new show I'm reviewing on 3FSAs, although first review, I'm going to kind of wait till the second week to review it, but it's a sci-fi kind of thing, happens several years after the world has frozen over because of climate change, and it's sort of a mystery set on a giant 1001 car train which carries what's left of humanity. And if you're a Hamilton fan, David Diggs, who was the original Thomas Jefferson and Marquis de Lafayette, is the star. And he is absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So we have, let's see, we've got another caller. Let's see who this is. Area code 206. Who is this? Hi there. Hi there. Area code 206. Okay, I'll put you back on hold now. Try to catch you a little later. Okay, area code 773. Let's see who this is. Hi there. Who is this?
Hello. Hi. My name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. How are you?
Well, hello. Good. I wanted to first say that I just messengered you the other day. I've been trying to listen, so this may have impacted others. I've been trying to listen to this for probably a year and tried several times on my iPhone and was repeatedly bumped out. You told me that the Apple, it wasn't working well, so I'm on my computer, and for the first time, it's all working. So
yay!
So I don't know if that has impacted other people for in terms of your listeners. However, So a few comments.
Sure.
I liked all this. I really like this season. Of course, season one I think is everyone's favorite. I would say that I really didn't mind any of the episodes, changes or what have you, but I did not care for the episode with Lieutenant Knox at all.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a big waste of time and an episode not well spent. But other than that, I really enjoyed the first episode, the last episode, bits of all of them. And I think the acting this season, my goodness, Ian, his maturity, character, it's just unbelievable. John Bell and Lauren Lyle, wow, what she's brought to
that
character.
She's been great. Yeah.
Really amazing.
So great. Was she gorgeous in that last episode, dressed in the retro outfit and her hair and earrings? It was just great. I feel badly for Cesar, dumb boy, that they really didn't give him a very good, much to do the entire season. I kind of missed that.
We agree.
And I'm a Downton Abbey fan too, so I loved Ed Valeris and Downton Abbey. He was terrific as Stephen Bonnet. Everything.
Yes.
I know you mentioned that last episode some of you weren't fond of, but his acting is so incredible.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think everyone really grew in terms of their acting and what they brought, and you just love the characters, you know.
So, Kathy, you'll appreciate this. One of the little side comments that he made on that Zoom meetings that we were doing with them, the little meetings this weekend, he was saying how he would actually kind of insert himself a little bit. And if he was in a scene, instead of just being on the other side of the porch, he kind of made sure that he was behind Sam's shoulder so that you saw him, or that he was, he said some of those things weren't scripted, but he was just trying every little thing he could do to get in there. And
good
so
for him.
Because, you know, and I don't know if you've ever seen some of the French films or anything that he's been in. He's been in The Walk. He was in Borgias, and I think both of those are in English. But, you know, he has acting chops. He really needs to, you know, be given a chance to show that off. So we're really hoping. So if you're on social media, Kathy, feel free to use the hashtag of, you know, we need more Fergus, because we really need these writers. And if they're already kind of screwed with storylines, we don't want them to write off Fergus and Marsley. We want them
No.
Yeah, they could not do that.
But I also have to say, I really didn't like the Melva storyline in the book. So I thought they probably weren't even going to address it until one of you mentioned that they are. I could have done without it, very honestly. I liked Marsley in that role, being the assistant, the whole storyline with Claire and such. I could do without that.
You know, you're not supposed to like the Melva storyline.
Right.
I get it, yes. All right. Anyway, it was a good season, and this will be a long time. And something interesting I really enjoy, and when I listen and read online and stuff, I read the series once, so I have forgotten a lot. I'm always interested that, like, you guys can call out what chapter, what book, where.
Okay, when that happens, we know we're going to talk about it, and we have gone through, and we've checked what chapter it is.
I'm like, are you kidding me? But I'm so impressed.
It's all smoke and mirrors, Kathy.
That's what
kind of is. Wait a
minute,
we're pretty good at
the
trivia.
Secret?
No, we are pretty good at the trivia. I mean, so we do remember some of the details, but I have to admit, I don't remember names of chapters, what happened, what, you know. But
yeah.
But thank you for thinking that we're as good as that.
I've been quite impressed. And I truly do not have many I don't have a lot of friends who are into Outlander, so I rely on listening. I rely on Aaron's reviews. I mean, for me, that's all fun because I don't have people that I can sit back and talk about. My husband watches it with me, but he's not thrilled with it. That's all I can say.
He's humoring you.
Well, Kathy, you're calling from a Chicago area code. Do you live in the Chicago area?
I live in Chicago, yes.
Why aren't you part of Outlandish Chicago? Yeah.
I am on.
Oh, you are?
Okay.
Good. We just want to make sure.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, then we hope to meet you at an event coming up. If we ever have a
hope to get there. Yeah, I really haven't done any of that, but I would like to, for sure.
Good. Once we can safely get together, can you imagine we all are going to want to just flock?
We'll have to have multiple in different areas. We'll have to have one out this way. I'm in Crystal Lake, so we'll have to have one out in the northwest and, you know, one north and one in the city and one down by Connie and Orland Park.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that would be nice.
And then we'll all go to all of them. So. Well, Kathy, I'm really glad that we got your technical issue settled.
Yay.
A friend of mine taught me how to use Blog Talk Radio. He runs a series of TV show based internet radio shows on this same website. And he had told me that Blog Talk Radio doesn't play well with Apple. So
yeah, well, it worked. I'm on the computer. It's been good, and I'm finally hearing the whole thing. So thank you.
Terrific. Excellent. Terrific. Well, you know, you can always listen to all the replays, and hopefully we'll be on the air in a couple of weeks, and you can listen to us then, too.
Okay. Will do.
Thanks a lot, Kathy. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's good. I'm glad that she was able to call in and actually talk with us and have that work out for her.
I'm glad that you were tech support for somebody. That's really cool. Would you like a job?
I've done a fair amount of that because people have trouble getting into Discus and into Rafflecopter.
You know what I have to tell you?
Website, so.
I've had some issues every once in a while with those two as well. And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm having a problem, what's wrong with these sites?
Right. Well, I know that when we first set up and started using Rafflecopter, I think particularly, I was getting a lot of people who were upset that they couldn't leave a comment, you know, if one of the entry options was leave a comment. And so trying to work with them to figure out what the problem was, and for the most part, they were trying to leave the comment in the Rafflecopter box instead of
going over to the
comment section. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but I've been playing tech support for three of my space. So, and then if I can't answer the question, I go to Robert, and he is definitely a techie. And his first suggestion is, tell them to try a different device. So.
No. The first one is, have you tried turning it off and on again? The second one is, have them try another device.
And a different browser, right?
Different browser.
Device. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we've got another
giving away
call.
All the secrets.
All the secrets. Stand up.
Throw it
the
across
hokey,
the room.
Put your left foot in, put your left foot out, right? So. We've got another caller tonight. If you want to.
Go ahead.
What did you want to say, Allison?
Oh, I was just going to say, throw it across the room is probably not the best one.
No. Call in a teenager. if you want to call in and talk to us, 929-477-3898. We've got about half an hour left tonight. So let's see who this is. Area code 708. Hi there. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Hi, Jamie.
I don't even need to announce myself. I'm well known now.
Yeah.
She's
I'm getting to know your phone number.
Yeah.
How are you doing? The kids haven't made you completely bonkers with homeschooling yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm well off to the promised land of bonkers. So yeah, I'm actually in the bedroom with one of the kids now, the Outlander named child.
Okay.
Because the other two think I'm putting her to bed, and they know they are not allowed in this room at all. And I left the door. So I'm bribed with a book.
Tricky.
I got a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening on my headphones on my iPad, third week in a row, no interruption. So we can dispel that.
Yeah,
don't chase yourself.
You just don't know.
Well, there was 1 week that I was losing it so bad. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to call in and listen over the phone. Uh-huh. And it was bonking out through that, too.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm like, that's weird. So,
we're going to be looking at is seeing if we need to make a platform change. There are other internet radio sites, and I'm kind of looking at how much the subscriptions cost and whether we'll still be able to have callers and that kind of thing. We don't want to go to anything where we can't have callers. So,
gotcha. And if there's a way for people to submit a question or say something, because there's people that I know that are like, oh, I would love to, you know, mention this about an episode, but I'm too afraid to call in. It's like, well,
so
then send it to me because I'll call it.
It's a good suggestion.
So,
that's a good suggestion.
A
good idea.
Function.
Yeah.
You know, like there's
yeah, if there was a way
Zoom,
to submit
yeah.
something.
And
yeah, not like,
that
not like we don't
None
have the chat
that.
Windows up just amongst ourselves anyway.
Right.
So
there's so many times I'm like, okay, who could I bother the least if I PM'd one of the three ladies? Who would I bother the least?
It happens.
Wouldn't bother any of us.
So,
nope,
well,
I don't
bother
any of us.
I probably am one of the few people who severely enjoyed Journey Cake.
Did you?
I didn't like that they made the whole big to-do about Let's Go Nowhere. I think they thought they would surprise people and scare people and be like, they'll think that they're going somewhere. It did get a lot of people talking. So if that's good for the show, that's great. But I liked what happened because of it. We had a great Lord John and Jamie discussion, and when I saw that portrait come out, I'm like, yes, because that was what I was missing from one of my beefs about season three, that the portrait came too soon. And I
yeah.
was like, okay, fine, if he shouldn't have told her when he did, he could have told her later at the brothel. But that he had the picture, and I wished that they would have had him be a little angst about it, like, oh, I'm so proud to have these pictures of Brianna now, but it makes it a little painful because I don't have this photo memory of my son. And then it come later, and it be this yay moment. And so I think they misunderstood the early placing of it. And mm-hmm. I also felt like Sam fell on his sword on Twitter because so many people were blasting the writers and the powers that be. And he said, no, it was my idea not to fall to pieces. And I was like, well,
right.
that's honorable of you. But I the ultimate decision comes down to, because I've also read things of, oh, Sam's not acting enough. And he's not looking this enough. He's not looking that enough. And it's like, I have seen scenes of him where it's like, I have no question the guy can do anything they ask him to. I actually
mm-hmm.
think they tell him to underact a lot. So that's another thing that perturbs me, but it's like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Clearly they're going in a direction, and it's, hopefully they've kind of gotten back on track. And if they read the fact that a lot of people were upset about the whole Journey to Nowhere, but the discussions that came from that Journey Cake, like Jamie telling Brianna about William, and the Lord John discussion with Jamie, we got that scene with Lizzie where she had to break Lizzie's heart, and I was just like, wow, well, if that's not
right.
the scene to prove that, God, now her name went out of my head. I lose my kids' names out of my head.
Caitlin.
Lizzie.
Lizzie.
That
Caitlin.
People, yeah, Caitlin. That people weren't happy exactly with her casting. And it's like, there was a reason she got picked. Just like
right.
there was a reason Brianna got picked. I am perfectly happy with Sophie Skelton. I actually adore the girl. I haven't gotten to meet Caitlin yet, but I have no doubt that in further stories with Lizzie, things are going to get a little crazy, and that she's up for the task. So I know people
yep.
get upset about, well, this person doesn't have this color eyes, and this person doesn't have this. Like, really? Are we going to split hairs that small?
Yeah,
but
no, it's about their
yeah.
acting ability.
Yeah, because I would rather, you know, rather see somebody do just a fantastic job acting. I don't care what color their eyes are. You know, that's just silly.
Yeah.
But
it's an
this
adaptation.
Season on a whole was, I would put it on par with season one, because if I looked at the amount of episodes I really liked, the only one I really balked at was 502, because I was nodding along. When you said about all the bread under the expensive glass,
yeah,
yeah, that was a oh my god moment. And then the fact that with the dead body in the root cellar, and it was like, really, Do you think we don't know these characters enough to know that's just BS? That's not right.
Yeah, let's haul them out and show Marcelline something else.
Yes, and I think I'm okay with them changing that it was Marcelline that did in Mr. Brown. I'm liking the spin that it looks like it's going to take. But I do hope we get to see more of the bugs next season.
Yeah.
Because they are that I was surprised when I read the books that they I was going along, oh okay, and then I was like, wow.
Uh-huh.
You know. And I had
Absolutely.
There was another high profile series I read that had a humdinger like that that I was completely befuddled by. And I'm looking forward to it, and I pray that this is about on par with that.
Good.
So,
well, keep our fingers crossed. So,
but I have not been able to get Never My Love out of my head. It's been stuck there just on repeat. And it's a great thing.
It's a good earworm.
It is a yes. Well, I was stuck on the song for a couple of days beforehand because somebody had said, "Hey, there's a song by the Association called Never My Love." I'm like, oh, I know that song. So I'm like, oh, that'll be cool if they play it. And I kind of expected it at the end of the episode when they're in bed together.
Right.
But I didn't expect it the way they used it. I'm glad, and I liked how it was done. It was very well done. And it's weird to say I loved the episode because it was disturbing and it was graphic.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I also liked I'm one of the few people who's been – fortunately, I have – not had an issue where I could not watch 115 and 116. Thankfully, I've gone through life and I have never had any kind of abuse or anything. So I don't have the triggers. It was really rough the first time to watch. I watched through my fingers. But after that, I looked at it from the perspective of I've got to put that out of my mind because I really want to focus on the actors and that the job they're doing. And I literally, like, forced myself to ignore the story and just watch the acting. And I was blown away.
That's what it was supposed to do. Yeah.
So
I
watched Faith, and that one was just completely gut-wrenching. And that was probably the one I cried the most about. My husband even got out of bed, and he's like, "Are you okay?" Because I'm, like, just sobbing. And I thought I was quiet, but apparently I wasn't. So, I was really proud of 512, and I really liked how they displayed everybody and the job that everybody did collectively. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the bad guy. You know, you really hated Lionel, and you really had issues with the stuff that people were doing.
Right.
So they did a good job too. And I actually told Ed Spoliers when I talked to him from Wizard World, I said, please keep us informed of your future projects because you have a whole bunch of new fans and we're sad we're losing you and we want to keep following you. And he looked flabbergasted that I told him, hey, keep us, you know, in the loop of what is coming. And he's like, well, I don't have anything right now. I said, well, this thing here is a good gig. I don't get to travel. So having these virtual things is a good deal for me. But I told him, I said, a lot of us would like to continue to follow your career. And he goes, I will. I'll keep you all on Instagram. I'll keep you all up to what I'm doing. And I said, that's great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's terrific. Jamie, I'm going to have to let you go. We've got a couple other callers, and we've only got about 16
And I get kids beating down the door. So,
okay.
Take care. Have a good night, lady.
Talk to you later. All right.
Bye-bye.
We've got another caller from area code 708. Let's see who this is. Hi, who is this?
It's Kat.
Hi, Kat.
Kat.
How are you?
Hey, girls. How are you?
We're great.
Long time no see.
I know. I'm good. It's like, I don't know. Should I be typing or should I be talking? Maybe I'll talk.
Yeah, she was typing to me a little while ago.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'll tell you what. Typing, talking, probably talking is going to be your better choice.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, you hit on and go ahead.
I was just to tell us what you thought about the season, what you liked and what you didn't like.
I have to say, I mean, I think there might have been one or two shows that I wasn't exactly ecstatic about, but I truly love this season. I think I cried in every show, and some was, you know, just crying my heart out. I mean, my God, some of the scenes were just amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, you know, the other callers have said, that the acting was definitely up, I don't know how many notches from all the actors. And, I mean,
right.
We could see this in previous seasons. There's no doubt about that. You know, from Katrina and from Sam and from Ian. I mean, we loved him. We loved John Bell from the first time he was on stage. You know, when he came to the door,
right.
You were like, he's adorable.
Absolutely.
And he has just matured, like, so much. I mean, his acting chops have... he just blew me away when he showed up. I know I saw, you know, they were downplaying the fact that he was going to be on this season. In fact, downplaying, they didn't even mention him. And, you know, we knew that he comes back in the books, but as we know, they changed those things. And just couldn't imagine a season without him. And when he showed up earlier than he would have in the books, I thought that was fabulous. And his face, I mean, just looking at his face, you were in tears. You could just see the pain he's in.
Yeah.
So I just really think that, and I think Sophie Skelton and Rick have really upped their game too. You know, I know that the one, you know, with the kidnapping and stuff, but I thought her acting, trying to play along with him, and yet you could see how much pain she was in through everything, and trying to act like she was acting and not acting. I thought she did a fabulous job with that. So and her interactions with Jamie and so forth. And again, Ed Spears, I mean, he was so phenomenal. I hope he really does keep us abreast of what he does in the future, because, I mean, and Allison and you guys, I really agree with you. I mean, these are our actors. They don't belong to anyone else.
Right. They're ours.
We do, and they become almost like children, and they're like, we're very possessive. You know, and we like to know what they're going on to doing. And, you know, part of us doesn't want them to ever leave, because we have this relationship with the characters. And some of us have been fortunate enough to meet a lot of the actors. And you know, it goes so deep. I mean, I've never had this with any other show. And I've been hooked on a lot of shows. But
absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. The ability to meet these people and really kind of, you know, that weekend that we had at Through the Stones with Terry and Ron. I mean, you really kind of felt like you got to know them.
Yeah.
You know, was,
and vice versa.
Like,
vice versa. They got to know us.
Yes.
And they appreciate that too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Terry was always. You know, that was the first one I went to, and that was really my first big con for anything and for Outlander. But she was just so involved with everybody, and just the way she promoted Through the Stones and said, "Oh, Ron, you got to come on this." I mean, you know, and he was just
wonderful.
Delightful.
Yeah,
so overwhelmed with his presence. I was like, oh, my God, he's, like, magnetic. You know, there was just something about Ron. But at any rate, back to this, I thought the costuming, you know, I love Terry's costumes, and nobody could beat, you know, the French, all the costumes when they were in France and something. And that.
Yeah, big shoes to fill.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. And she was, I think, so authentic. You know, that was her big thing. She researched the heck out of everything, and she was so authentic with her costuming. But I got a little bored with the fourth season because they wore – Jamie wore the same thing for the whole season. You know, he wore that black
yeah.
suit. It was very – and Claire in the third was, you know, when she was on the ship and she made her bat suit, I was like –
God, I was so tired of that.
Yes, yes. So this year, I think the enrichment, the stuff that Sam wore just really – I think, and he even made a comment about that in one of his articles or one of his talks or whatever, that he felt that the costumes enriched his, you know, himself and made him look bigger than life.
Right.
And right. I just think they did a beautiful job with the costumes this year.
Yeah.
And so that I thought was really interesting. And yeah, I liked all the ones that you said, you know, the snake bite and the Murtaug thing. And I did kind of like the black and white in the aftermath of what happened with Roger.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it really took us to another level of what his thoughts were. And, I mean, I suppose it could have been in sepia or in something else or maybe done in a different manner, but it really showed you, it delineated what was going on in his mind and what his recall was, what he was remembering.
Yeah. I didn't have any trouble with it being in black and white. I had trouble with it making
clicky
it look
clacky
like
noise.
Yeah,
yeah, like an old a non-talkie.
right.
Yeah.
Well, Kat, you
yeah.
know what? We're gonna have to say goodbye to you. We have one more caller, and we only have a few minutes left, so I'd like to
okay.
get to them
thanks,
too.
Okay.
So.
Thanks, girls, and I hope
nice
that you can show up. Love all
nice
you.
Nice talking
thanks.
To you.
Love you too. Talk
okay.
to you soon. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
It's always interesting to hear people's opinions of the show. And, you know, I think that's something that Outlander does really well. It gives us a lot to think about. You know, it gives us a lot to agree and to disagree about. And
well, that was one of the comments on the survey. That they liked that we accepted different opinions.
Right, right. Well, there's no right or wrong here. You know, my opinion is my opinion. Yours is your opinion.
And sometimes we disagree. Yeah.
Absolutely. And mine is no more right than yours is right.
No, mine is always right. My opinion
is right. Well, you always say that, but, you know, you're wrong. Okay, we've got one more caller. If your area code is 979, let's talk to you.
What happened to the 206? Did they hang up?
Yep, they did.
Oh, okay.
Hi, who is this?
This is the person who really is always right.
Well, we were waiting for you. You promised you were going to call.
We've been waiting and
waiting. I got caught up in something, and so I just snuck in at the end again. Okay, so I know there's not much time. You know I have to have the Lizzie comment. So I changed what I was going to say based on something I heard you say. How can Marcelle be the assistant with three kids and one in the oven? Mm-hmm. It's because she's got Lizzie to take care of the kids nearly all the time.
Right.
It's not
there
just Jenny she's taking care of. She's got a whole nursery school going on, our Lizzie does.
Good point.
That's it. No, seriously. I thought it was a really good season. I think a big chunk of season two is still better for me. I really still feel the loss of Ron guiding things. But I think season five came as close to the genie that came out of the bottle of season one, and particularly the Scottish episodes of season two. So I thought it was really good. Now, any Roger fans want to have a one-on-one with me, I'm happy to talk, because even though they went a long way in season five to repairing all the damage they did in season four to Roger, I still think there were some things that I thought they just put that knife in and twist it a little for Roger.
Oh, absolutely. And he's one of my absolute favorite characters, if not my favorite in the book. And yeah. I felt like it's just a crime.
So. Yeah. And so I think that's why I liked it, because there was an improvement. I liked lots of episodes. I really, really loved the first episode. I loved the wedding. I loved the whole family feel. Everyone's there. Uh-huh. And then they had to just go and ruin it by introducing Bree finding out Bonnet was alive on her wedding night. It isn't bad enough they ruined her handfest night by the rape. Then they ruin her wedding night by letting her know Bonnet's alive. So it's like, that's just a sore point for me, obviously, because I just thought that was just cruel. Even Diana wasn't that cruel. You know, Diana let her have a wedding night.
Right.
You know, so, but I just loved the family feel of that first one. And I think that's why I'm with the people who like Journey Cake well enough, only because it had that because we got to visit with all the family. But I'm with everyone else. It was such a waste of time to, oh yeah, we're sending them back. Nope. Like, it just reminded me of Bart Simpson, you know, because I used to teach fourth grade when the psych thing was so big, and it drove me crazy. And that's what I just kept, like, oh, come on, you guys.
Oh, I thought you were thinking, don't have a cow, man.
yeah, I don't have a cow. I just think that they're just, the writer's room is just so married to the idea that, oh, we need to surprise the book readers. It's like, do you know that's the one group you don't need to surprise, really? We're happy with the story. That's why we're book readers. But I digress.
Well, I keep seeing comments
about
why
I didn't have a lot on Lizzie.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, of course I would have liked more Lizzie this season. I'm hoping they will do her big storyline in season 6, but I am girding myself to the idea that they're not going to do the storyline in a very big way. It'll be one of those, you know, Jamie and Claire will have a quick conversation. Can you believe Lizzie, she did that, da, 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 and no, I can't believe she did that. Well, I told her to stay in, so no one will, you know, I think it'll be handled like that. I think they've got so much to do. I'm scared they're not going to have that. So I'm preparing myself mentally so I don't freak out next year. But if you guys are doing the talk show next year, I will need therapy if they don't do that storyline. So
I really hope her father gets into the season. You know, that her father actually comes over from England.
Right.
There's so many different things. He was supposed to be in this season. The bugs, I mean, they didn't even literally introduce the bugs.
Right.
They just kind of were the people hanging around. And I think one time they said Mrs. Bug, or maybe two times they said, but they don't think they ever said Mr. Bug.
Mm-hmm. The only time was Jamie told Lord John, I'll have Archbug bring your stuff up to the guest room.
That's right. That's the only time he actually heard his name. Yeah. So
was Mr.
it'll
Bug
be interesting
the one
to see.
Who was there? Was Mr. Bug the one who was there during the tonsillectomy?
Yes, yeah.
I think he was, yeah. They didn't say who he was. He just was just this man. Yeah.
Well, Kat, we just got the 90-second warning from the oddly accented lady on this. Thank you for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Kat.
Okay, bye.
Right. Nice talking to you.
So that wraps up our season of The Outlander Gab on the Air. So we will let you know. We'll try to give you some warning when we come on. And we're going to try to do this, you know, maybe once a month or so. But we will let you know. It's been too much fun, really, to give it up. Don't you think?
Well, we're going to sit there and talk anyway. So we might as well let other people listen in.
Exactly.
So we'll figure it out one way or another, and we will invite you into our virtual living room. So thank you for coming along with us on the ride. It's been fun. We've enjoyed season 5. What do we want today? False Bride or the Dunedin Pipe Band?
surprise us.
Yeah, I can't choose.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. There we go.
In a cavern in the canyon, excavating for a mine, dwelt a miner 49er and his daughter Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling.